Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
It's like I just saw you. So, all right, we're going to get straight down to the top. We're going to be talking about death. This is something serious. We don't want nobody to run and get scared now, but this is something serious. So we're happy enough that you tuned in and you come to learn about Islam and to learn about the way of life that God Almighty wants you to live by. And we're very excited that we have you, a person who has memorized the whole Quran, who knows the authentic traditions of the last and final messenger who sent to mankind.
To some extent.
So we don't have a car mechanic, teaching us this deen, this way of life.
Right.
You're a specialist. Right. And we want to talk about the details. And I think this just is another evidence, because Islam has evidence on top of evidence on top of evidence to prove to the sincere person that this is from the Creator. This is not man-made.
Right.
So talk to us about death, something that we have an appointment with. Talk to us about that moment of death.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam ala Rasulullah. The moment of death which everybody fears. And everybody that thinks about death brings some pain in the heart. And that's why most of the people, they ignore this fact and they want to live a life of being away from it and forgetfulness, so that they don't feel the misery. But whether we like it or not, whether we run away from it or not, we have to face it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that death that you are fleeing away from, he has to meet you. He's already set his way out, as if this is the case, and you're going diligently every day towards the last and final rest in this life, and death is coming your way. So some point you have to meet it. It might be right this second, might be after a month, a year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That's why it's not just for those who are sick. Some people die in car accidents. Some people die just like that with a heart attack. Whatever, the means are many, many, many. But the one thing that is for sure, death is coming. So because of that, and because Allah is the most merciful, He mentioned the Quran and the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, some very specific details, so that the believers would know exactly what they're going to face, although saying it and hearing it is nothing compared to seeing it with one's eyes. So first of all, it would never bring misery, just to make this clear, because the one that brings the joy and the misery is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and He's the one that made this place of happiness is in the heart. Mm-hmm. And the most happiest man that was present on the face of earth was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak?" Didn't we make your rest spacious, meaning that you're happy in this life? Although He's the one that ordered us to remember death much. So if you remember death much and you are steadfast on the religion of Islam, you will be the most happiest person on this face of earth and in the hereafter. At the moment of death, the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said in a very long and lengthy hadith, and I won't say the whole thing,
yeah,
but he said in this long hadith in details what can happen to the person. And he divided the people into believers, mm-hmm, and disbelievers.
Yeah.
And he said, when the person is about to start his hereafter, because the hereafter starts with the moment of death,
mm-hmm,
and he's departing from this life, if he's a believer, the angels will come to him from the heavens and with bright faces, and they would sit with him as long as his eyes can see. And this is reality. This is more real than the fact that I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. So at that moment, he would see the angels sitting, lining up all the way to what his eyes can see. And then the angel of death, there's an angel responsible for taking the souls of the human being. The angel of death will come down, and he would sit in front of him, and he would order the soul. And he would say to the soul, to the believing soul, go out to the mercy and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the soul will come out, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the meaning of which, like a drop of water coming out from the opening of a water skin. See how easy and soft that happens? This is the soul of the believers come out in such an easy way. So once the soul comes out of the believer, the hadith says, again this is not opinions, this is the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, revelation from Allah. Once the soul come out, the rest of the angels, they don't leave it in the hands of the angel of death. They would take it and they would wrap it in a coffin from Jannah, from paradise, that has the best fragrance and the best smell. And they would take it and they would go and elevate to the heavens with the soul. And every heaven that they would go to, sky and levels, we know that there's seven heavens or seven skies, they would take the permission and the angels would say, who is that person with the best names that he used to be called in this world? Why? Because of the great smell that they are smelling and the great thing that, is happening. So they would say, it's so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, with the best names that he used to be named in this world. And they go from one heaven to the other till they reach the seventh one. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say that write the deeds of my slave in the highest level. And this is for the believers. And return his soul back to the earth because I promised them that from the earth I created them and from the earth they shall return and from the earth they shall be resurrected. So the soul will come down into the body again in the earth, but not just in the same way that we are living now. And then after he is buried, then and people depart from his grave, and the Prophet ﷺ, he said that he would hear the footsteps of the people when they're departing, the dead person. Then after they leave, the angels of death, or two angels will come to him. And these two angels will make him sit in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're not talking about physical things here. And they would ask him three questions. And this is what is very important for us to realize now, that this is what we prepare ourselves for. Do we have answers to these three questions or not? And the answers is not just what we know, is how our life was. They would ask him, who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is the messenger that was sent to you? And the believers, they would say when they asked, who is your Lord? He would say, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And what is your religion? He would say, submission to the creator of the heavens and the earth, which is Islam. And who is your prophet? He would say, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That moment, he will be opened a gate in front of him to the hellfire. To the hellfire. And it will be said to him, this was supposed to be your place if you would have been a disbeliever. But it was replaced for you by another place. And then a gate to the paradise will be opened to him. And the fragrance and the goodness from the paradise will come into him. And it will be said to him that this is your place when the day of judgment would occur, but not now. So at that moment he would say, O Allah, make the hour occurs. He wants it to happen quickly so that I can go back to my family and my wealth, meaning to enter the paradise. And the total opposite is for the disbelievers. And let me just start it by, I know I'm taking too long.
No.
But for the disbelievers, the Prophet ﷺ gave the example that it would make it more closer into our minds. He said, when a disbeliever is about to die, the angels of punishment will come down unto him. And they are the most horrific looks, these angels, creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angel of death, also they would sit in front of him as far as his eyes can see. The angel of death will come, and then he would say, ordering the soul to come out, and he would say, come out to the punishment and the anger of the creator of the heavens and the earth, because you had committed injustice against your own self when you did not fulfill the purpose of your life. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, at that moment, the soul would scatter all over the body of this disbeliever.
Doesn't want to come out.
So what happens, the angel of death would snatch it, would pull it so hard that it would be so much, of course, painful. And the Prophet ﷺ gave the example that it, as if it's tearing the person, tearing him, like you have a piece of iron in a wet wool. What happens to it? It just tears it apart.
Is that from being attached to this world and not having been prepared for the next life and neglecting your obligation?
The state of forgetfulness and the state of disbelief.
Yeah.
And it becomes all over the place. It does not, see, remember the first example?
Mm-hmm.
It comes out like a drop from a water skin. Very easy and
you're
very
ready.
Soft. Right. But the disbeliever, he had to do this to it. And then when it comes out, the angels would wrap it in a coffin that is from the hellfire that has the worst smell to it.
Yeah.
And when it's trying to go up into the heavens, it won't be able to. And the angels for the first heaven, it would say, who is this nasty and bad smell?
Yeah.
Human beings, it would be said, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, with the worst names that he used to be named in this world. And then it would say, or something would be said, that bring him back to this earth, and it would be thrown into the earth again. And when the angels would come to the person after they depart, after they burying him, the two angels would come and make him sit and ask him the same three questions. Who is your Lord? That person would say, ha, ha. This is what the hadith says. Ha, ha, I do not know. I heard people saying things.
You didn't prepare.
He was not preparing himself.
Yeah.
He was busy with the sin and the disobedience of the Creator of the heavens. He heard people saying, come, worship the Creator of the heavens and the earth alone. They advised them. They told them so many times. But he was busy with intoxicating himself. And he will be asked, what is your religion? He would say, I do not know. I heard people saying things. Who is your messenger? He would still not able to answer. Although he might know it. But the tongue would only speak of what was present in the heart. And then it will be opened for him a gate to paradise, to Jannah. And it will be said to him that this was supposed to be your place if you were a believer. See how much regret a person would have when he sees this. And then a gate to the hellfire will be opened and it will be said to him that this is your place. And all the bad things will come to him from the hellfire. And he would say, oh my Rabb, oh my Lord, do not make the hour occurs. Because now he knows that he's going to the punishment of Allah. And he has to live with this everlasting, without no end. Because of what? Because of few years that a person lived in a state of disbelief and forgetfulness. And let me just add something. Somebody might say, isn't that a form of injustice that a person lives 60, 70 years in state of disbelief and then he has to live everlasting life in the hellfire? You know, why is that much?
Yeah.
To answer this is, for someone that lived and died in the state of disbelief, he had the intentions while he was living that if he would live forever on the face of earth, he would live forever in the state of disbelief. So as a result of this attitude, that his punishment is an everlasting one. Allah is the most just. And he would not punish anyone unless the matter is made clear to him. And as Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We do not punish till we send a messenger. This is the mercy of Allah. Messengers are being sent. And they sent to tell you, oh you human being, you believe in God, worship Him alone. And then you turn away. You worship other than Him. You live a life of forgetfulness. You don't want to do nothing with being steadfast on the proper submission to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, then do not blame no one but your own self. That's why it's such a serious matter. The early generations of Islam, they used to take this matter so serious that their whole life is just preparing themselves to this last moment of this life, because afterwards, anything that we did, we have to live with it everlasting.
So it's on you. Now that person, Muslim might have a non-Muslim, his colleague at work, and they might be watching the show. So they might actually be a little more enthusiastic about doing what they need to do, the simple thing, to become someone who is a believer and the one who can answer those questions when death comes, when that appointment comes. So you're not like that person in class who didn't study and the teacher calls on you like, No, you can ask, Allah is my Lord.
Right.
Islam is my way of life, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And you show it through your actions. Tell us right now how simple it is. So someone doesn't have to be out of the mercy of his Creator. How simple is it? What does a person have to do to be on the side of the angels when the angels come and give you those glad tidings of, come on, sweet soul, you're going to paradise, and your Lord, your Creator, is happy and pleased with you. We want to be on that side.
Well, my sincere advice to anybody that is watching, stop for some time of this busyness of your life and sit and think sincerely and truthfully. What is the purpose of my life? You believe in God, you believe in the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and you have to. We are forced to believe in Him, of course, in a nice way, because nothing happens by itself. And He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you believe in Him, then you believe that He's the most perfect, that He's the most merciful, that He's the most wise, that He's the most powerful. So why should you fear of anyone but Him? Why should you seek any hope and reward from anyone but Him? He's the most perfect. So if you think for a second about this, and then turn to Him sincerely and turn to Him alone to show you the truth, because the matter is serious. At least it's fair enough if somebody sitting now telling you that after death it's either hellfire or the paradise, it is fair enough for you that you take the matter seriously. Maybe what he's saying is correct. So think about it sincerely. Seek help from the Lord of the heavens and the earth sincerely. And ask Him sincerely to show you the truth. And it's also fair enough that you would go read the Quran, the last revelation of Allah. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. Just read it with an open heart, a heart that is searching for the truth. And read the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad and ask and not to live a life of forgetfulness and not just to depend on the media to tell you what Islam is and what Muslims are. Go do it yourself and the book is saved. From 1400 years ago, never been changed. Read it and see if it makes sense to you or not. If you go through the steps, I don't want to manipulate anybody or force anybody or cause anything like that. Just do it for yourself. But to live a life of putting it aside, I'm okay, I like my way of life that I'm doing now. Fooling ourselves, living a life of deception, and then when the moment of death comes, the regret would never benefit
us. Yeah, you don't need no money from that or anything, right? There's no benefit to you.
Right, right. You're not going to have to come to me, I'll give you anything, you give me anything.
Okay.
It's for your own benefit.
Tell us now the seriousness of this, because we're busy with accumulating wealth upon wealth, position upon position. And as you said in one of our prior shows, that Islam encourages for you to be the best at whatever you do. Is this correct?
Correct.
So now, this is something that is encouraged, to be educated and to be someone who is the best in society and who is beneficial to others. Mm-hmm. But now, if you're neglectful of your purpose in life and you're just chasing your whims and desires, it's not good. Tell us that moment of those three things that follow you to the grave and then the two things that come to argue over the one thing.
Right.
Can you talk about that?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he said, when a person dies, three things goes with him in his funeral till he's buried. One stays with him and two go back. He said these three things are his family, his wealth, and his deeds.
That's it.
That's it.
Those are the three things, huh?
And you find them in the funeral. You find the car of the one that died is driven.
Yeah.
Going to the grave with him. And his family is with him. And his wealth, his family, his children, whatever, wearing the clothing that he bought for them.
Yeah.
You know, his wealth is going with him. But then when he's buried, he does not take his car with him.
He don't take that bank
account.
He
does not take the bank account and the checkbook with him. He doesn't take nothing. What stays with him is the deeds that he did in this life. And this is what all matters at the end. And that's why the person should take this life in such a way that the most concern to us is to establish the acts of worship, to be obedient to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And by the way, people have this idea that religion is something that make your life miserable. That you have to leave your status and your wealth and you have to be a monk somewhere. This is not in the true religion. This is never be the way of life that Allah wants from us. Because why did He create wealth for us? Why did He create the beauty on this world? Just to make it difficult for us and to make it evil? Of course, it's not evil. It is the beauty that we're supposed to use for the purpose of life and we enjoy it too. Why would a person know that everything is permissible? Juice and water and everything that for you to drink. But you choose something that would intoxicate your mind. You left all that is good and pure, and you choose just that one thing that will make your life more difficult even. And the same thing with the acts of worship and so on. So in the religion of Islam, take it from me, and don't take it from me, just do it for yourself. You would never be miserable in the sense that happiness is in the heart. Everything will fall in place. Mm-hmm. Everything will make sense. There's no contradiction between life of being religious and being successful in business or whatever. Actually, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were business people. They were not just some religious people. We do not have in Islam something like the religious figure and then the masses of the people. And in which the religious figure manipulate the people. And he's such a holy, there's no holiness in anybody on the face of earth. Everybody is responsible for his own deeds. And that we earn this. We do not take it by inheritance or from lineage. We do it with our own actions. Buying and selling even is an act of worship if we do it in the proper way. And we have regulations in this in the Deen of Islam. Honesty, being truthful, smiling even in front of someone. Not to hurt someone and insult him. This is a good deed. This is something that would take the person to paradise. Mm-hmm. But with the foundation that has to be proper, and that is to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which means there is no one. You have to say this with your tongue and your heart before that. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of Moses and Jesus and Muhammad and all the messengers of Allah. And that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger. If you believe in it, don't wait. You never know if death would come today for you or not.
And then that would be your teacher, that last and final messenger. Correct me if I'm ever wrong, that this is the same way if you were living during the time of Moses, Jesus, Abraham, you would declare this declaration that there's no God except the one true God, Allah. And that Moses was his messenger at that time,
right.
Jesus was the messenger at that time, and et cetera, et cetera. So that same way, correct?
Correct.
And then you had to emulate them. You had to follow Jesus. He was the way, the truth, and the light.
Right.
Moses was the way, the truth. How to get to God, showing you how to pray to God and worship God. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we have to emulate the last and final messenger. Not worship any of them.
Right.
Can you emphasize on this real quick?
Human being is a human being.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood, eyes and ears and everything is a human being. He is in need always of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. The creator of the heavens and the earth is nothing like the human being. And this distinction has to be clear because it made so many people fall into the trap of mixing together.
Yeah.
The creator is nothing is the like of the human being. And he's the all-healer, the all-seer, yes. But the human being is something else, deficient, has deficiency in it, always in need of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Messengers of Allah are the best of the human beings. The best level and the highest level of a human being that can he can reach is to be the more humble to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Not the one that would elevate himself to think that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. So, believing in this and knowing that if you study the life of Prophet Muhammad, and this is another call for people to do that, his teachings, he would never call the people to do any evil. His teachings is to live a perfect way of life. And no matter what you do, if it's eating, if it's drinking, if it's what's permissible, what's not permissible, it's to make your life a perfect one, not just for the hereafter, but for this life to be a perfect life. If a community would apply it, they would have the happiness in this life and hereafter. It was practiced, by the way. It was never in the books. It was practiced in the time of the early generations of Islam and so on. People embraced Islam in the masses.
Yeah.
If you look at the map at the time of Prophet Muhammad and afterwards, the world map, America was not discovered yet, right? And you would see that anywhere the Muslims went to, people embraced Islam in masses, countries, nations. And this is something that is amazing, never happened on the face of earth. When people saw a practical way of life, of being truthful, being honest, making sense of everything that they do. They worship and they buy and sell. They are at night like monks and they weep and they cry and they stand and they make worship. And in the morning, there are strong men and women acting and doing things in this life that would benefit them in this life. And hereafter, there's no separation between such a thing as religion and life and all of these types of things. It's all one because it's all the creation of the creator of the heavens.
That makes no sense. Now, this is another proof that why would the creator, he create us and then take off instead of figure it out on your own.
Right.
That there's a system how he wants you to live. And this is the system, submitting your will to his will. Now, tell us, we're almost out of time, a few more points. By implementing submission to the one God, Islam, the way of life of all the messengers, one gets peace, tranquility, and God is good. He only accepts good. So the good, talk about briefly the good of worshiping him alone, the good of not using foul language, not drinking alcohol, doing drugs, gambling, prostitution, all these evil vices that only if someone hears it, if he's sincere with himself, you see like, man, if I do this stuff, it's only going to make me a better human being anyway. Talk about this for a minute.
See, the heart has a certain quality.
Yeah.
It has so much diversions in it. And the only way that would collect this heart to have this calmness and the happiness in it, it is the mercy of Allah that He made it in such a way that a person would never have this calmness and this happiness unless he worshipped the Creator of the heavens and the earth alone. And no matter how much a person is doing in his life, he would never taste this, the real meaning of sweetness and happiness in his life unless he is worshipping the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He would always otherwise feel there's something missing.
Something missing, huh?
Something is not right.
Yeah.
And this is actually, if a person is truthful with his own self, he would find this, that this is true. And that's why people run away from religion. Why? Because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But when it comes, look at the Muslims in general. You would find in general that people have this belief is the same. Although there's so much, people are in a state of forgetfulness because of not applying the orders of Allah. But this happiness is present in the heart if a person worships the Creator of the heavens and the earth alone, because it's His mercy that it became in such a way. And that's why it's mentioned in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مَنْ ذَكَرَ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever do a good deeds, he would live a good life. And one last thing is, if you have a fruit that looks very unpleasant from the outside.
Yeah.
This thing in the desert, I forgot what it's called in English, the cactus or something like this. Inside it's very sweet.
Yeah.
But from the outside it has horns and thorns and things like that, right? So when you see it from far away, you say, this is not good. But if somebody peeled it and ate it, and he says it's very sweet.
Yeah.
Right? Who is the one that would know both way of life? The one that tasted it. So for you to be away from the religion of Islam and to say, you know, it's not good, well, you didn't taste it. For someone to be in state of intoxications and prostitution and all these types of things, and someone else repented from all of this. He tasted, he know what it means and what it feels to be in such a state, right? And he repented to Allah and he now tasted the sweetness of faith. He is the one to be asked, what is the best of both?
Yeah.
But the one that is still in the forgetfulness and the sins and so on, he doesn't know the other side. So it's not fair. If he says it's not, no, the other side is just misery. He did not know what it is. The other one is the one that knows both and how it feels, and that's the one that should be asked, and this is what we need to do. Taste it and take the means to it and be patient in doing so. You will get the happiness in this life and in the hereafter.
Thank you very much. Time is up. We got to go. I wish we could talk some more. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth, reward you in abundance.
May Allah reward you too.
Ameen. Thank you. And thank you again for being with us on the Deen Show. It's very simple. It's one God. Worship Him alone. Do what He wants you to do. Put your desires, this thing inside you that just wants this and wants that, and you just can't get enough. You know what? You'll never get enough until the dirt's in your mouth. Don't let it come to that. Be sincere and honest. Ask the one who created you to guide you. It's the first step. Put off chasing all the women and the good times and the parties and this and that. Put it on hold, man. Do some investigating, some legwork. Everything is there. It's been saved. You have the living miracle, the last and final revelation sent to mankind, the Quran. It's an instruction manual from A to Z. How you live is in accordance with the Creator, and then there's nothing left in paradise. It's very simple. So it's up to you. We're here to help you. Come back and see us every week on the Deen Show. I hope you got to benefit. And we'll see you next time, God willing, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ayatun lahumul ardul maytatu ahyaynaha wa akhrajna minha habban. وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَّخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونِ لِيَأْكُلُوا مِن ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون